to us, Lord. That your word would do its work tonight. That it would enable us to understand, Lord God, that your word abides forever. Our opinions and our views, Lord God, are fleeting. But your word is steadfast, sure, and eternal. May we hear what you're saying, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is the penultimate talk, if anybody doesn't know what that means. This is the one before the end in our Nailing Our Colours to the Cross series. And next week, Keith will finish on the subject, ecumenism. And that just means where we all these faiths come together. That's what ecumenism is all about. And he will be looking at that issue next week. But again, I want to emphasize before I get into this tonight that the topics that we have covered, although they are controversial, are not about being controversial for controversy's sake. And neither do we seek to criticize or pass judgment on others. On all of the subjects that we have looked at, it's not about us standing here and saying we are holier than thou. It's not about us passing judgment on other people. It's about us basically, simply wanting people to hear what God says or what God's word says on the matters that have been raised. And you can go back over previous weeks to the podcasts on our website and you can listen to what was said. But tonight, my subject is abortion. And this is a big issue as far as Northern Ireland is concerned. And abortion is an emotive topic, dividing opinion into two camps, basically the pro-life camp or the pro-choice camp. And we shouldn't therefore be surprised that the subject actually even divides opinion within the church. As some Christians are pro-life, that means that they support the right to life of the unborn child. And other Christians are pro-choice, supporting a woman's right to abortion. However, when there is division like this in the church, it is imperative that we take guidance from the Word of God. Because God's Word must be the Christian's final authority. Christians may have their views, they may have their opinions, but our views and opinions cannot supersede the Word of God. So, let me be clear about this subject. The Oxford Dictionary defines abortion as this: the deliberate termination of a human pregnancy. The legal definition is the intentional and artificial termination of a pregnancy that destroys an embryo or fetus before it is capable of living outside the womb. So let me be clear about these again. The Oxford Dictionary defines abortion as the deliberate termination of a human pregnancy. The law defines it as the intentional and artificial termination of a pregnancy that destroys an embryo or fetus before it is capable of living outside the womb. Would you be surprised to learn that abortion is actually legal in Northern Ireland? It's actually legal and has been so since, I think, about 1945. In fact, the 1945 Criminal Justice Northern Ireland Act allowed for abortion of a child capable of being born alive only where there is long-term risk to the mental or physical health of the mother. That has been around for a long time. It's basically, again, saying it's okay to have an abortion if there is long-term risk to the mental or physical health of the mother. To get an abortion under these criteria, the pregnancy must be under 9 weeks, 4 days gestation. After that, you cannot get an abortion in Northern Ireland. If a woman has been pregnant for over the 9 weeks and 4 days, she must travel to the mainland to receive this surgery. Most abortions can be carried out up to, but rarely beyond, 24 weeks gestation. When a woman has been pregnant for 24 weeks, they can still have an abortion, unless, as I said, there is serious risk to the life of the mother. All this wrangling, all of this boisterousness about legalizing abortion in Northern Ireland is actually about bringing Northern Ireland laws into line with the rest of the United Kingdom and allowing women to have abortions up to 24 weeks gestation. And some calls for legislative change on abortion in cases such as rape and incest and disability, for example, they are thought by some to be nothing more than emotional red herrings aimed at distracting from the real focus to change the law and allow abortions up to 24 weeks gestation. Now, if you don't understand what that means, and for people who are maybe listening to the podcast, I'm putting up now some images on the screen for people to understand what it is that we're talking about. Keith, if you would put up week 9, please. That is a baby in a mother's womb, week 9 of her pregnancy. Up to this point, week 9 and 4 days, that baby can be aborted. If you can prove that the mother, her health is at risk, that can happen here in Northern Ireland. Next, Keith. That's week 12. Go next, Keith. That's week 15. Week 20. Week 24. Those are the images that show the fetal development within the mother's womb of a child up to, or a fetus up to, week 24. It is perfectly legal to leave Northern Ireland, to go across to mainland England. Scotland are now offering free trips for women who want to go across to have the abortions up to that gestation period in the mother's womb. In the UK, approximately 200,000 abortions are carried out each year, up to 24 weeks gestation. The World Health Organization states every year in the world there are an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions carried out. That is approximately 125,000 abortions per day. Now, I read during the week on a particular website, the main reasons that women choose to have an abortion are firstly, birth control. Now, that doesn't mean they're trying not to get pregnant. What it means in this case is the choice of contraception has failed. And as a result, a woman has got pregnant and so she doesn't want to have that child. The second reason that why women choose to have an abortion is inability to support or care for a child. The third reason is they just do not want the baby. It's an unwanted pregnancy. The fourth is to prevent the birth of a child with disabilities or severe medical problems. The fifth reason is pregnancy because of rape or incest. And the sixth reason why women choose to have an abortion is for physical or psychological conditions endangering the woman's health. Now look, undoubtedly, and let's be absolutely clear about this, undoubtedly many women and men, because very often the men are forgotten in this situation, but undoubtedly many women and their partners considering abortion as an option to end a pregnancy experience great anguish and emotional turmoil. They agonize over contemplating abortion, while others see abortion as a convenient medical intervention. However, no matter what reason a woman gives for proceeding with an abortion, the definition clearly states it is a deliberate, intentional act of the woman's will to terminate a human pregnancy. So what does God's word say about abortion? Well, nowhere in God's word will you find it says you shall not terminate a pregnancy. But it does say in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, you shall not kill. You shall not murder. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 18, Jesus reiterated what God had spoken to Moses many years before when Jesus told a rich young ruler to keep the commandments of God. And he said, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery and whatever else. So this begs the question, is a pregnant woman who opts for an abortion complicit in the murder of her unborn baby? And what of the doctor who performs it? If God says, you shall not kill, if he says you shall not under any circumstances murder, is a pregnant woman who opts for an abortion complicit in the murder of her unborn baby? And what about the doctor who performs it? Well, the law says this, and let me make this again very clear. The law says that if Tati Gordon intentionally injures a pregnant woman and her baby dies, that I am guilty of child destruction because the baby that she was carrying was likely capable of living outside the womb. It doesn't define whether it's 1 week gestation or whether it's 9 months gestation. It says that if I intentionally injure a pregnant woman and that baby dies, I am guilty of child destruction. Yet, if a woman deliberately, intentionally chooses to have an abortion to terminate her pregnancy, she can do so up to 24 weeks gestation or later if the mother's life is at risk, and it's not child destruction. How does that make sense? Well, let's hear what God's word says about the unborn child. In Psalm 139, verse 13, God's word says this, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days that you have fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Turn, please, to Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 5. Again, let's hear what God's word says about the unborn child. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. God formed me from the womb. Finally, for now, we'll turn to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Again, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet among the nations. God knew Jeremiah, called him before he even formed him in his womb. You tonight, here in Shiloh, you listening to our podcast, you watching this live stream, before you were formed in your mother's womb, before you reached 24 weeks gestation, God knew you, and he appointed all your days. From these verses, it's clear that God knows us all. From even before he created us in our mother's wombs, he sees and he knows every unborn child. It is God who forms and knits them together in their mother's womb and who appoints all their days. The unborn child of the womb is precious in the eyes of God. And from his perspective, no one has the deliberate, intentional right to end that child's life. I'll make it clear. In God's eyes, abortion is child destruction, the murder of an unborn child. There is no other way to dress this up. There is no other way to pretend that it's not what it is. Abortion is child destruction. In God's eyes, it is murder. Now, I don't mean to be insensitive, and it's not my aim to criticize or to pass judgment on others. My aim is to highlight God's word on the matter of abortion. If you don't believe me, read the Bible for yourself and see. As I said, many women and men suffer terrible, terrible anguish and emotional turmoil, agonizing over contemplating abortion, while others see it as a convenient medical intervention to kill a baby up to 24 weeks gestation. Some women, and I have counseled some women carry guilt for years for having had an abortion and desperately struggle to come to terms with it. Others never come to terms with it at all. But you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of God, is this. For those who have had abortions, for those who have conducted them, let me assure you tonight that there is forgiveness with God. By repentance, that means acknowledging and turning from your sin and wrongdoing through faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone, we can receive forgiveness for sin and have peace with God. Let me tell you, there is no one who has not sinned. It's not just people who have had abortions who have sinned. There is no one who has not sinned, and all of us need forgiveness for sin. Forgiveness for sin is possible because Jesus, God's Son, came into the world and died to pay the price for our sin. And now God says, whoever, those who have had abortions, those who have not, those who have committed sins in terrible, terrible ways, those who have not, God says, whoever believes in him, Jesus, shall receive forgiveness of sin and have everlasting life. The same God who says that abortion is a murder is the same God who says there is forgiveness for those who will come to me through Jesus. 200,000 abortions per year in the United Kingdom. 40 to 50 million per year worldwide. Can we seriously believe that God is not offended by this? Abortion is wrong. Abortion is child destruction. In God's eyes, it is murder. Maybe you're here tonight, or you're listening to this podcast, and you've had an abortion. Well, let me assure you that God loves you very, very much, and he wants you to receive his forgiveness and his love. Why not come to him? Why not come acknowledging your sin, your wrongdoing, and ask him to forgive you? He will, because he loves you. You don't have to go through life carrying guilt or shame. We have all done things in our past that we could be feeling guilty for or ashamed of. But every Christian will tell you that when you know the forgiveness of God, when you know that your sins are forgiven, it just lifts the burden from you. And so if you have had an abortion, come to God and ask for his forgiveness, because he loves you. He will forgive you. Don't go through your life carrying guilt or shame. There is forgiveness with God for you. Maybe tonight you're contemplating having an abortion. You found yourself in a situation where you're pregnant and you don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. And you're contemplating having an abortion. Please, please don't do it. You don't have to deliberately, intentionally terminate your pregnancy. You can get support and help from professionals, from agencies and others who are more than willing to give you all the support that you need. Please speak to someone. Seek guidance and wise counsel. You see, just as your life is precious tonight in the eyes of Almighty God, so is the life of your unborn child. So is the life of every unborn child. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes you ask us to speak out about subjects that we would rather not speak about, because, Lord, they can offend people. They can hurt people's feelings. They can make people feel a sense of condemnation or shame or guilt. And of course, Lord, then we're pointing the fingers at ourselves and thinking, who are we to get up to say these things when we're not perfect, when we are not without sin? But Lord, your word is truth. And you tell us to proclaim the truth, whether we like it or not, whether people like it or not, whether they listen to it or not. Your word is truth, and your word abides forever. Abortion is murder in the eyes of God. But there is forgiveness with you for those who will humbly come to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, seeking that forgiveness. And Lord, every Christian can testify to that truth, that we have been forgiven. And we ask, Lord, please, that anybody who's racked with guilt and shame, who have deliberately, intentionally murdered their unborn child, that they would see how much you love them, and that they would come to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, and find forgiveness and life forevermore. And Lord, I pray for our nation. 200,000 abortions every year. Please, Father, forgive us. Have mercy upon us. Please do not let them change the laws and make it easier to kill these unborn babies. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.